Hi. In the first of the clinical and viva sections, we're going to look at facial swellings. And so here is the scenario. You are given a picture of a young patient with a paranasal swelling. Please proceed. So in this image, or the patient in front of me, they have an obvious swelling around their nose and extending up to between their eyes. These facial swellings can be either acquired or congenital. The important priorities when assessing these would be to confirm or rule out any intracranial component. And so during the history and examination, I'd want to see if the character of the lesion changes in certain situations, such as coughing, check for a history of rhinorrhea or infections, and find out if the anomaly was seen on the gestation ultrasound scan, because if it wasn't, then it would be an acquired lesion and therefore unlikely to contain any cranial tissue or any brain. I'd also want to check if there's any respiratory distress, because certainly younger children are obligate nasal breathers, and so I'd want to see if there's any evidence of respiratory distress because of an intranasal component. And then finally, identify any associated craniofacial anomalies, for example, clefts, hypertelorism, and that's specific for encephalocils, any nasal deformity, both external nose and internal nose, and also check the neurological status. So moving on to my management, the first port of call is radiology, and this is the most important diagnostic modality. I would ideally request an MRI, as this is the gold standard imaging for facial swellings, but in the young, this requires a general anaesthetic. If that's not possible, then I'd consider a CT, as these are quicker, but they're less good at soft tissue, or finally an ultrasound, which doesn't require any sedation and is simple, but then the quality of the imaging isn't quite as good. If I was concerned at all by the internal nose, so I would perform a Thudicum examination myself, but if I did have any concerns, I would request a review by one of my ENT colleagues to perform a flexible nasal endoscopy. And then I would discuss the case as part of a craniofacial MDT, including geneticists, neurosurgeons, and ophthalmologists. If, after all of this, surgery is required, then depending on the location of lesion, would make necessary arrangements for the surgery. So if it's a extracranial dermoid and I'm not concerned about any intracranial extension, then this can be done without any other specialties, and an open rhinoplasty would be my technique of choice. However, if there is any evidence of an intracranial component, then this should be done as a joint case with the neurosurgeons, with an aim to remove the sac and close the connection between the intracranial and extracranial components, which may require a two-stage procedure, initially with a craniotomy in order to identify and close the sac, and then the child may at a later point require a box osteotomy. So if the patient develops a CSF leak, what would you do about it? So a CSF leak would mean that there was still an opening between the intracranial and extracranial component. The likely management of this would be to liaise with my neurosurgery colleagues, ensure a lumbar drain is inserted in order to reduce the pressure of the CSF. If that does manage it, then that is to stay in until the neurosurgeons feel appropriate. If it does not prevent the CSF leak, then the patient may need to return to theatre in order for myself and the neurosurgery colleagues to find the leak and hopefully patch it. What are the acquired causes that you mentioned? So, acquired facial swellings include tumor, abscesses, hematoma. Okay, what are the congenital causes? The congenital causes would include dermoids, encephaloceles, vascular lesions, and gliomas. What are the different kinds of encephaloceles? The three main kinds of encephaloceles are meningocele, which only contain the meninges, a meningoencephalocele, which contains the meninges and brain, and a cystomeningoencephalocele, which is brain and some ventricle. What causes an encephalocele? So encephaloceles are caused by a failure of obliteration of the normal dural diverticulation or diverticulum that occurs during embryonic development.